AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday, the 22nd of July. Matt, Sam here. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Not too bad. How's it going?
Going well. Did you have a nice weekend?
It was pretty good. Did a lot of working, but what's not good about that?
Nothing wrong with that. I got out to the Twins game on Saturday night. Just brilliant weather. Holy cow. Because I woke up that morning and I went and walked the dog and it was already like 82 degrees, but then we had those horrible storms came through.
Mm-hmm.
Cooled it down. It was magnificent. And until the top of the ninth when we gave up the win, to say there was a palatable dissatisfaction in the stands after that is an understatement.
Yeah, sometimes the weather can't make up for a Twins loss.
Oh, that was ugly. That was ugly, and they almost did it again yesterday, but they finally came back and win. The reason I'm going to start off with Twins is because Cliff Schechter is joining us, founder, president of the PR firm Libertas LLC. He's advised campaigns of political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton, Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller The Real McCain, columnist of The Daily Beast, and of course, Unprecedented is the podcast, and if you're not subscribed to that, well, I can't help you. You need to get subscribed to that. That's just that. Cliff Schechter is joining us. And Cliff is a Yankees fan. The Yanks are in town. We got three with the Yankees starting tonight. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, how are you?
I'm kind of gripping here as a Twins fan. I'm kind of gripping a little bit. How are you doing?
I get it. What's going on with those Indians winning so much? They should have taken the cue and just backed off.
The truth is the American League Central is just god-awful, and they are in a stretch right now where they're playing Detroit and Kansas City and the White Sox. And meanwhile, we're playing Oakland, and we're playing the Yankees. We're playing, you know, tougher teams. We had the Mets in town as well. And so that's kind of what they're catching up because – it's just the schedule, the way it works. The good news for us is that a good chunk of after we get done with July, a good chunk of the rest of our schedule is those, cupcakes, ho-hos, and Twinkies. And the Indians have a brutal August. They have a brutal August, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, good, because, if something happens and the Yankees falter, I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to a Minnesota crowd, but I've always liked the Twins, and I'd be happy to see the Twins as the American League representative there. It'd be fun. So, obviously, I pull for my team first,
Okay.
A born and raised New Yorker, that's what, even though I find myself in Cincinnati, Ohio. But we did get to a game, though, a week ago, by the way. That was fun. We were back in New York, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, the Yankee Stadium. I'm a Red Sox fan, and I'll tell you what, Yankee Stadium is one of the great sports experiences you can ever have.
I mean, I really like the new stadium. I think it's a pretty exciting place to be. Makes things even louder, which, if you're not into that kind of thing, you may not love it. but a good experience, and it's good to have a team that's doing something. I don't want to try to make you feel sorry for me, but I'm a Giants fan. They decided to hold on to Eli Manning and get rid of everybody else because clearly Eli's really promising right now. I thank him for his service against the Patriots, but at the same time, there is a point where enough is enough. Born and raised a Knicks fan, that went really well this summer as usual.
Oh yeah,
Knicks always do a great job. I think the Rangers, my other team, are showing a little bit of promise, but at least I've always got the Yankees, so I've always got somebody who and I've got my European soccer team, Barcelona, which does pretty damn well too. I don't know if you're into all that stuff or not.
I got Newcastle United, but
I'm an Arsenal fan too. But my son, my younger son, got me into. He's obviously a big Messi fan. We're actually going up to Ann Arbor, and we're going to see Barcelona take on Napoli in about 2 weeks in the big house there.
Nice.
That should be fun.
Those are fun games. Okay, so just last thing baseball-wise because I know the people are going to demand we get into the politics, but we got the three-game series here. If the Yankees win, when you get up to Minneapolis, I'll take you out for walleye and wild rice, okay? If the Twins win, when I get to Cincinnati, you got to take me out for Cincinnati chili, okay?
Skyline. That's our stuff here. That is a deal. One of us needs to get to the other one, soon.
We should, man.
We keep talking about it, and I've been coming on your show for a couple of years now, and we've both been lazy about it, so we need to figure it out somehow.
Well, I might talk to you about August. I'll get in touch. Okay, I might be near you in August, so we'll have to see.
Ooh, I like it.
Yesterday, after a week of this insanity with Trump and his racism, and let's just blunt, it's his racism, there was an attempt by the White House and their spokespeople to get on all the talk shows and scream, we're not the racist, you're the racist. They did not do a very good job. Trump is clearly upset again. Now he's screaming that the squad is, they're the ones who are the racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body, as he accuses the four African.
No, but he does have a racist bone spur.
Oh, yes. it's more of a racist being. It's the entire, it's the epitome of racism in human form.
It's a couple of those racist bone spurs that kept him out of Nob.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's just, this is this whole, I mean, it's really getting ugly. And I mean, I have always been one of these people that I'm very hesitant to compare people to what happened in Germany in the 1930s, because that was Hitler. That was big. That's not something you should diminish. But when you start seeing people start suggesting we need to deport American citizens, going after who he's going after, I mean, and his concentration camps and the rest of what everything else he does, I mean, it's really scary.
Look, a number of experts, you know, on fascism who've written new, you know, done studies, written books. You should have David Nywert on sometime. He did an in-depth study in the 80s of sort of some of the patriot type movements in the sort of the Idaho / eastern half of Washington State area, where, you know, eventually Ruby Ridge and some of those things came to be known by people. And he's worked for, you know, for the Southern, I'm losing my mind today. In any case, SPLC. He's written numerous things on this, and he's analyzed in a pretty serious way. Other folks whose opinions I trust on this have come out and pointed out how some of the chants, you know, send her back is sort of a classic Nazism. You know, fascism. It's essentially saying that no longer your Americanness is not by you know, your culture here and have, you know, and being a citizen and or having been born here or what you like or how you conduct yourself, or that it's now, you know, blood and soil. You know, we've been hearing this whole presidency, right? I mean, but it's been getting worse and worse, and there are a lot of people that just won't call it out for what it is. The mainstream media, of course, is the biggest failure here. You know, I mean, it's like, I think we just got another story on, hey, some people in Michigan might still vote for Trump, you know, from the New York Times. Like, hey, I'm so tired of the Nazi next door stories. He's really a nice guy. He takes his kids to preschool every day. And, you know, he has a habit where on the side where he likes to paint, works hard. Oh, and by the way, he's a Nazi. You know, like, we've normalized this stuff to such a degree that you know, we're not just sitting around and sort of calling it out for what it is. It's Democratic timidity. I've seen you, by the way, open up, let's call it, a line of inquiry towards Nancy Pelosi on Twitter, which I assume you've also done on the show here. Mm-hmm. You know, and look, I've been in the same place. You know, I was a big Nancy Pelosi supporter when she wanted to be Speaker again. I think she's tactically and legislatively a genius, and yet I think politically she's mired in 1980s, where all these folks still think that we're living in Reagan's world. They have no idea what, you know, numbers are showing and where we are, and the fact that everything the Republicans are doing is incredibly unpopular, and they win by the complicity of other Republicans, by weak Democrats who won't point them out every day, point them out what they are every day, and by a media that feels a need to split the baby in half and won't do a job in a democracy, which is to point out, you know, this is the color red is the color red, the color blue is the color blue. And, you know, these are facts. And, you know, all of that is adding up to, like, I can't believe we're living through this stuff. I really can't. This guy should have been gone long ago. It should have been an easy call. And it's like, this all feels like it's going in slow motion towards a disaster. So, you know, when you bring up Nazism, you shouldn't feel bad bringing up Nazism, because we're at that point now where the guy who, you know, what's his name, Goodwin, the you know, who has the law named after him. Mm-hmm. But when you bring up the Nazis, you're losing his, you know, edited it. He's a professor and said, well, not when there are actual Nazis. Mm-hmm. You know, then you know, I mean, and if you don't want to bring up Hitler, bring up Idi Amin, or talk about Pol Pot, or Suharto, or the many examples we've had over the last 40, 50 years, Pinochet, and what happens when these kind of movements get going and build a momentum.
Mm-hmm. And one I think, and as you brought up, I mean, it's it's not like we have a tendency of looking back on history and not understanding the timeline of history. And it's easy to sort of say, boom, Hitler was there. No, beer hall push was started really in the late, in the very early 1930s. And I mean, there was an amazing amount of coalescing around Hitler and stuff like this. And even though this stuff was going on, I mean, this is the great question. I mean, you talk to Germans today and the question is, you know, how did this happen? And the reality is they fed upon fear, and you've got racism here in this country. And that is what has done well for Trump. He realized where the cutoff line was. He realized there were some Republicans who weren't racist that went along with him because they just couldn't stand Hillary Clinton. And that's where he knows where his margin line is. He gets that many people out. That's it. And I think that you have to stand up and do something about it. I mean, I pointed out last week, Civil War. I mean, why did Britain get rid of slavery, but they didn't go into a civil war over it? The reason why is because we allowed it to fester here in this country for decades until we finally dealt with it. And by that time, we had to have a civil war to get rid of it. Well, if we do the same damn thing now, you know, it's only a matter of time before we do devolve into another civil war in this country, just because we have to have politicians that have a spine that are willing to go on out there and do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, I keep this piece written by the New York Times in the early 30s on my desktop here to remind me. And they're talking about how Hitler was a buffoon and the conservative part, they thought they could control him, the other conservatives. I mean, hell, he was appointed because he was this demagogue buffoon that got up, but of course was popular among the stupidest people. Sound familiar? And the conservatives, you know, thought they could use him to further their goals. So von Hindenburg appointed him. I mean, he wasn't even initially elected. He was appointed. And, you know, I mean, does any of these sorts of things sound familiar with Mitch McConnell and some of these other folks? I mean, they all think they can control him, where the Democrats think he's going to say something, he's going to self-destruct, you know, or the news media thinks they can get away not doing their jobs. You know, this has been repeated so many times in history, and how these same mistakes are made every single time. You know, we're a stronger and more resilient democracy than most. We've had institutions in places a lot longer than Weimar Germany and, you know, most of these other examples you could give of places where these kinds of either, you know, fascist or communist demagogues rose to power. But no system is impervious to this. No democracy has ever lasted forever, has it?
No, you know? It hasn't.
So, I mean, to think that we can sort of, you know, we can keep whistling by the graveyard on this one, and, oh, he'll just lose in 2020. Why? Do we know what this guy's, what his people are planning to do in terms of corrupting the vote, suppressing the vote, what they might do? Do we think, anybody think the Russians aren't going to get involved in it? Does anybody believe it's going to be a truly honest election? And you know, analyses have been done that show he won 46% of the vote last time. He could win 43% of the vote, theoretically, and win the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens in this country? You know what I mean? I mean, so he's just doing what he does. I hate it when people say, oh, 12-dimensional chess. He's baiting them purposely. You know, the second time, third time, fourth time he attacks the squad, quote unquote, you know, then maybe he's doing it because other people smarter than him have whispered in his ear to keep doing it, taking their attention away from other stuff. He's too stupid to ever have a plan. He's impulsive and he does stupid things. Part of that is his racism and hatred for all things that are not him. That's just who the guy is, and we refuse to sort of consistently come out and honestly do that, which the easiest way to be doing all of this would be through impeachment inquiries.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, so, I mean, here we are in this situation, and the last thing I'll say quickly, you know, you're right in that we are lucky that they kind of failed on Sunday, because Chris Wallace seems to be, even though he's at Fox News, getting more up to the job of challenging these guys than even, like, the New York Times is, which is to their shame.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, they put, you know, Santa Monica Goebbels there himself, you know, Stephen Miller on the show, and luckily he's so bad that it helps us. But
Santa Monica Goebbels. I also want to make sure I point out that one, this is what they're doing on Sunday was clear Rovian politics. Accuse the people of doing exactly what you're guilty of. I mean, it's 100% Rovian politics. But the other thing of it is this: when you talk about our path to success, 110 million registered voters didn't vote in 2016. The total number of Republicans who condemned Trump's clearly racist comments. 4. There is no convincing these Republicans in mass to come over and vote Democrat. There just isn't. They're ensconced. They are there. They will not leave. The focus for the Democrats should be the 110 million that sat out the 2016 election. And if you do that, you'll win, and you'll win easily.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, people act like this has to be a choice. You know, the hardcore Trump supporters are never going to ditch him. They like this stuff.
Yeah.
His approval with Republicans went up after those comments. You know, he has gathered all the racists under one tent. There used to be some in both parties, the southern wing of the Democratic Party, the western wing of the Republican Party, for the most part. Now they're all gathered in, under the Republican banner. And he's done as much as he can to sort of to bring every last one of them in. You know, and so that's who he you know, we're not winning those folks back. There are, however, people that have been slowly moving away from the Republican Party. Women are a classic example, particularly, you know, well-educated women in the suburbs, really college-educated voters in general. And the same message that's going to turn those folks out on the left, who haven't turned out, will appeal to the to that swing group that's moving away in droves. So there doesn't need to be a choice. And a lot of them probably didn't vote for Trump anyhow. You know, some of them may have voted for Hillary. Some of them may have voted for Gary Johnson or something like that. And there may be some, you know, a small percentage of them that did vote for Trump who we can win over. You know, who already were drifting away from the Republican Party, and it was the party of their, you know, they were moderate Republicans, and they've been increasingly horrified. But the thing is, again, they're going to come to us because of us talking about a straightforward message about, you know, what he is, which is anti-American, and what we are, which is everything in the best ideals of America, mm-hmm. you know, and wanting to move forward. We're not going to lose them on talking about stuff. If we lose a few of them, you know, they weren't meant to be with us anyhow. If talking about giving everybody health care is going to offend them. You know, so mm-hmm. I mean that should be exactly what we're doing, and turning out those folks that didn't bother to turn out, and frankly, spending whatever money it takes to help people who the Republicans have suppressed, whether you know getting them registered or making sure they have IDs they need. When I see billionaires tossing away money at stupid things, vanity projects or whatever, put it there, mm-hmm. making sure we can get people IDs that the you know DeSantis that. Won't say what I want to call him. I would say it on my podcast. In Florida, passed the modern day poll tax, and they gave the vote back to former, you know, to felons who had gotten out of prison. Well, you want to get now they passed a tax, so they have to pay all these fees, whatever. It's meant to try to stop people from voting, largely African American. You want to help? Go pay those fees for them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we should be doing, is making sure every person who wants to vote and is going to vote in an intelligent manner is able to do so.
You mentioned the impeachment. Mueller is going to go up and talk on Capitol Hill here. Mueller keeps implying that he's not got anything else to add, but the Democrats feel as if this is an opportunity to really bring out the evidence. What do you think is going to happen with this?
Oh, my God, Matt. I mean, how did we end up with these people on our side, honestly? You know, I get the New York Yankees in baseball. Actually, I hate trivializing it that way because, you know, this isn't a sport. This is about real people's lives. You know, analysis was just done and met that the states that rejected Medicaid, something, you know, something like 15 million extra people probably lost their lives. It sort of pains me when we sit here and I look at our own folks, you know, and they're like, oh, no, it'll work out this time. You know, this time is going to be the time when Mueller's going to, I mean, he has failed us. I hate to sort of burst anybody's bubble. He himself is exactly like one of those old guard Republicans or some of these Democrats. He is not up to the task. You know, he doesn't get that this is about our entire democracy. This is, you know, he's at, you know, oh, well, I wouldn't want to accuse Donald Trump of something where he wouldn't have the right to defend himself, because Donald Trump never does that. Or maybe you could, you know, take a look at a stupid advisory opinion from the Justice Department, you know, put in there by Nixon, of all people's AG, and say, why would that hold any weight? Why are we treating like this is codified law, or this is some sort of a, you know, I'm talking about the one where you can't indict a sitting president. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. You know, but Mueller's not up to it. You know, so we're going to keep doing this. We're, you know, I mean, when I see Democrats, they're getting all excited. I mean, how many times do you need to be Lucy, you know, have Lucy pull the football away from you?
And Mueller... I think Mueller exactly tried to do it both ways. He's tried to say, you know, in case the Democrats did find their spine and did go through with it, as they should have by now, they should have done an impeachment vote by now, that he could have said, well, see, I put it on the ball on the tee for you. But he also didn't really push them down. I mean, he kind of, you know, he you know, hey, it's on them. I can't do anything here. And I mean, if he would have come on out and said, I would charge him with a crime, if I could have, I was told by the Department of Justice I couldn't. That would be the end of it. And I think that even he is, you know, from what he has said, he could have said that, and he just didn't. And I agree. I think that there's part of me is he wants to have it both ways. He wants to still be a loyal Republican foot soldier, but at the same time, I think even he notices that there's enough there that if he just basically gives, you know, Trump a pass, that history will then, it will all fall on him. So he's done what he could to basically push it off to the Democrats.
That is correct. I mean, he's just sort of, also, you know, he sort of has just been like, you know, I want to let it, let's just all throw this out here, then I'll hide behind large furniture. Hopefully no one will see me. And hopefully the Democrats will take action based upon this meek, timid. I mean, he's nothing that he was promised to us. And I hate to be so harsh, but, you know, people aren't very nice when it comes to Neville Chamberlain. And, you know, I don't think this is that far off from that territory. And I'm sorry if I'm offending people with that. But there are times when this much is at stake and you need people to rise up and do what's necessary. He has failed us in a big way.
Final
I want to correct one thing I said, by the way.
Go quickly. Ahead.
As I said, the number 15 million before accidentally, and that would make me sound like a crazy person. The study actually said that 15,000 people had died in Republican-led states due to their refusing to expand Medicaid through the ACA, which, again, you know, 15,000 people, though, everyone should think about that and think about the differences between these parties.
You brought up Neville Chamberlain as well there, the future of Britain. We got about a minute left here. If Boris Johnson becomes the prime minister of Britain, which it looks like he's going to, I just don't see any way that Britain comes out of this Brexit anything without a 30-year, depression, Great Depression going on in Britain.
Well, I mean, my God, what Putin's accomplished. I mean, you know, this guy is he's their Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
They're about to put in, they've seen what we've done, and they're literally about to, he's a clown. He's a guy that has been caught numerous times. He's serially dishonest. When he was in a foreign secretary in 2016, his own party was not sharing certain information with him, intelligence, because they were scared he was compromised. Does any of this sound familiar? Mm-hmm. A buffoon who fights with everybody, a guy who people believe is compromised and corrupt, a guy, you know, this sort of nasty idiot who the whole Brexit campaign was a way of trying to become prime minister for him. He never cared about that before. He's a demagogue, you know, and like they're about to install this guy. No, they're not going to come out on the positive side of this. I just hope the world does. I don't know I don't know what we all do when these two powers are being led by these two unbelievable morons.
Here's the long game here. When everything does collapse on all these people that have voted for the Tories over there and gotten the right in power in England, when they lose everything, of course they're going to give, you know, Labour one vote over there in the same sense as it happens over here. It's the long term, because one of the things I've seen is that these conservatives, even though they'll lose everything, one election will give Democrats a chance, but then they run back. And I mean, you got to figure out a way to basically, when these people finally wake up from their stupor, to keep them in the fold and make them realize, no, they're not doing you any favors on the right.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and it needs to be a constant campaign, and it needs to be constantly evolving how we message, reaching people where they are, talking, you know, speaking to them about, you know, their aspirations, but also pointing out in quite blunt language who the other side is and why they do not fit the history of our countries and the history of democracy. They are the opposite of that. They are those figures from history. And if Hitler is a weighted subject, fine, don't use him. There's a lot of other demons from history that these guys line up alongside very nicely.
Cliff, all my best to your New York Yankees. I hope that they get swept.
And I appreciate the sentiment. Right back at you.
My pleasure. I'll link to Unprecedented, the podcast. Go subscribe. It's sensational. Cliff Schechter. Cliff, I so appreciate the time. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on, as always.
You got it. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Maplewood Toyota to the rescue. Hi, Richard from autotechnical.org. Donations to our program are down 80%. What are we going to do? Well, our good neighbor at Maplewood Toyota is making some of his trade-ins available to us. It's a big help in continuing our mission of reconditioning vehicles for our client families in need. Can you help? Call me at 612-919-5526, autotechnical.org.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers. They offer the 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And they pay top dollar for your trade-in, even if you don't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having its annual store-wide sale. For the entire month of July, all of our indoor and outdoor fireplace products and accessories are at their lowest price of the year. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we display, explain, and install the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of indoor and outdoor stoves and fireplaces, including metal and masonry pizza ovens.
I love my wood stove. We enjoy the sense of well-being we get by cutting and splitting wood to warm our home. Wood is our choice, but you may have other choices at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether transforming an existing fireplace or adding something new, a clean-burning wood, gas, or electric fire can have you sitting pretty and cozy by the fire. Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Come see us. We have over 35 working displays in our store, which is just off I-94 at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, since 1977, out of the ordinary products and services to make fire work for you.
AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I should mention, Schechter retweeted something I did this morning, and then immediately afterwards, Michael McKeon, Lenny from Laverne and Shirley, was just on Good Omens. He was great on Good Omens, that show on Prime that everyone wanted to get banned.
Yeah.
That was good. Michael McKeon retweeted me. I'm, you know, it's not as good as Mark Hamill. When Mark Hamill liked one of my tweets, that was, they actually had to drag me back into the station because I was done. I mean, I mission accomplished. Luke Skywalker recognized my existence on this planet.
Retired now.
I'm done. Yep, I'm good. Nope, I had apparently contractual obligations. Who knew? It is funny, too. I'm doing this little project, Sam. I got a new computer. Now, I am not a tech savvy in any way, shape, or form. That's why it's always funny when someone says, you Photoshopped that picture. Sure I did. Sure I did. You bet. Anyway, but I'm a kind of person that I buy something, and I'm buying it to kill. I am. I buy a car to drive it into the ground. I buy a computer to where it doesn't work. And the computer I have is 10 years old, which for a computer, I mean, that's like a time machine.
That's pretty good.
But it was dying. And so I've been dinking around with this. We don't realize how fast technology is lapping us. We just don't. When I downloaded my old hard drive onto an external drive so I could load it back onto the new computer, it took me 15 hours to download everything, all the photos, all the music, everything on there. It took me 52 minutes to load it back on. Well, they seem to have increased the speed on these things.
Just the tiniest bit over the past 10 years. Just a little,
wow, and that's only about 8% of the entire hard drive, you say. Wow, okay. Well, in case I want to start filming, you know, full-fledged Marvel movies at home, I think I've got enough computer space to deal with. It was interesting to hear there, you know, to look around and to see there are, I know there are people out there that get the newest thing every time they can get it. And I get that. And I mean, some people like that. I couldn't do that. Just because of having to load everything on again. It's like moving. I'm done moving. You know, I am done. I don't want to pack everything back up in boxes. I'm not going to do that again. I'm there. And, you know, it's like a computer. I don't want to have to import my emails again and have to, you know, where's all my, you know, favorites bar on my this? And why are my photos not here? And just it's sitting and staring at the computer. My kids look at me like I'm, you know, because they're growing up in much more of a technological age than I am. And it was like my dad looking at me when I was a kid playing in television and saying, look, he's going to be a science guy. And I'm like, yeah, sure, Dad. I'm playing Astro Smash. Anyway. But it was seriously, it's you know, technology is one of those things where it's a snapshot of time, and technology is something that the generally far more embraced by youth, but it is funny. I'm just I'm becoming an old man. And I'm like, you whippersnappers. I remember when there were CDs. There's no CD drive on the computer, man.
No, no.
Where do I put the CDs now, man?
Even the video games. When I grew up, I remember you had discs, and now you don't even get discs hardly anymore. No. You just download everything. No, I'm not even old, and I feel old.
Cartridges, man. You don't even know.
Oh, I remember Nintendo 64 cartridges.
Cartridges. Pulling them off. Blowing into them back in.
It says specifically not to do that also, but it works every time.
It did. Yeah, can't figure that one out. And it was intelligent television in television. Okay, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. We're running late. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Racial tension is popping up in unexpected places, but it doesn't have to be that way. Maybe we can reduce the awkwardness and the tension. What can we do? Join us at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska on Tuesday, July 30th at 7 p.m. for a one-hour talk with Jamila Anderson, a nationwide diversity trainer and teacher. Her presentation, Empathy and Equity, provides valuable tools for those who want to de-escalate the tension in any conversation, like in the Chaska School District. This is part of the Tuesday Dialogue Series at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, a progressive congregation that teaches Dr. King. The Big Red Rockers out front, 145 Engler Boulevard and Highway 41. I'm your host, Pastor Dean J. Seal. Free and open to the public, co-sponsored by residents organized against racism and AM 950. Find us on Facebook or at ChaskaChurch.org. Again, that's Tuesday, July 30th at 7 p.m. Be there. Aloha.
Sitka Salmon Shares was created 7 years ago for the Midwesterner wanting better seafood. Here's how it works. First, visit SITKASalmonShares.com and enroll in a membership fit for you. 100% satisfaction guarantee. Then our fishermen in Southeast Alaska catch your share, fillet, and blast freeze with care and send them to your front door, all with delicious recipes. It's that simple. Enroll now at SitkaSalmonShares.com and use code AM950 for $25 off.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Matt, Sam here today. 952-946-6205. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the Week, Nightingale. Fantastic food over there. If you get the chance, stop on by. They're just it's just such a nice, classy place to go over and have a great dinner. They got the sharing plates, but you can eat them yourself. You don't sharing. Sure, I guess so. I love the food. It's fantastic. Great options for everyone there. 2551 Lindale Avenue in Minneapolis. It is Nightingale, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. I want to, you know, with the talk of racism, because once again, it's amazing to me, this third of the country that just worships Trump. Trump says something undeniably racist. He says it's not racist. They immediately run out saying, it's not racist. Yeah, all right. No, it's racist. You might not want it to be racist. It's racist. And everything that he says, like today, I have no doubt when I go home and I have to clean the Minox off the Millennium Falcon, which is my social media pages later on, I guarantee you I'm going to have multiple people saying that the squad's the racist ones. He's not racist by singling out minority women and calling them names. He's not the racist. They're the racist because they were offended by his comments. That's the way they are. And what we have to come to grips with is this. There is an insane amount of racism and misogyny still yet to deal with in this country. There just is. There just is. And you cannot, I've often said, I think that when you look at the age of Trump, what I think a lot of it happened when President Obama became president, there were a lot of people in this country who said, If it's Morgan Freeman in a movie about a comet coming towards the Earth, sure, I can see an African-American president. When it was a real African-American president, it was like the guy who tells his daughter, you can date whoever you want, and she comes home with an African-American boy, and all of a sudden he's like, no! You know, there's this underlying racism that permeated up that, you know, that people have not dealt with, and this has been cultivated as a trait within the Republican voter. I would say that that's a very fair way to say this. And it shows in every single way. And there are people like don't want to believe that there is this racism out there. No, there's a tremendous amount of racism, for God's sakes, people. I am a large white man. Trust me. I can't tell you how many parties and get-togethers I have gone to where all of a sudden it's, hey, I feel like I'm in a safe crowd, and they start making the comments like, whoa, what are you doing? I remember about 2 weeks ago, a guy comes up to me and goes, I like the Twins. I just wish they'd get rid of all the Latino players. I was like, what are you talking about? The Latino players are all the best players on the team right now. Jorge Polanco's my favorite player. I mean, I'm just saying they should trade. And, of course, everyone he wanted to trade for was a white guy. And, you know, he didn't want to acknowledge the fact that this, you know, what he'd said was racist. You know, I'm like, no. You know, don't play that game with me. And, you know, it's there. I mean, and there are, in the last 15 years, there have been two times I have really been reminded of at really how much racism is still here within white America. And white America, we have to come to grips with this. And we have to tell people, no, it's not okay. The first was, way back when my kid was getting ready to start school, the school district we're in closed one of their elementary schools. And there was the standard usual fight. The school that was closed had a large portion of the English as learned language, as well as also the assistant lunch program, aka poorer kids. It was a high percentage of minority kids. And they had to split the kids up into the other school districts. And of course, there was the usual, not in my school district, or not in my kid's school mentality, the NIMBY stuff. Not in my backyard, only not in my kid's school. And finally, the school district just had to make a choice, and the kids that were in this school, a good chunk of them, went out to not the Silver Spoon Elementary School most school districts have, where it's the most of the wealthy kids in one school, but the second one. It was the one that was relatively wealthy as well, but just not as wealthy as the other one. And I can tell you, I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that left the school district. I mean, it was white flight. White flight, they all left, and I would say to people, oh yeah, well, it's kind of racism, and people would get, no, it's not. How dare you, Matt? It's not. It's not racism. They were upset with how decisions the school district was making, and they weren't taking their concerns into place. And I would look at them and say, and what decision was this? Oh, the bringing of the high percentage of minority and poor kids into the school district. That's the grand decision. I mean, you know what this sounds like? It sounds like the Confederates. When they scream at you, it was never about slavery, the Civil War. It was about states' rights. Well, what was the states' right that they were arguing over? The rights to have slaves. Ta-da! I was just upset with the school not listening to what we were wanting them to do. Well, what was that big issue? I didn't want those kids in my school district. That was the deal. And you may not want to acknowledge it, but it's there. And sure, maybe one or two people had a problem with one teacher or the principal and stuff, but the reality was it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at the large percentage of wealthy white people open enrolling out of that school into a different school to see what was really going on. They didn't want their kids in the same school with the minority kids and the poor kids. And that's that. And that is, it might not be overt racism. They're not wearing a sheet. They're not burning a cross. But it's racism. It is. And you don't want to fight that. That's fine. I can understand it. It's because, I mean, the people that do that sort of thing is like, you know, oh, the school district's not listening to me. They're going to let all these kids come in here. It's going to ruin the school. I'm going to open enroll. You know, they're already emotional as it is, but the reality is that's, yeah, it is. Yeah, your decision is based on race and what I call the other racism, which is, you know, an aberration towards the poverty and poor people. So, I mean, that's just reality. And you don't, people don't want you to point that out, but that's what it is. It's why they call it white flight. And the thing which is comical is that running into a school district where, and open enrolling your kid into a school where 99.9% of the school is white, that's not the real world either. I mean, unless you're going to ship your kid to Iceland or something like that, you know, that's not the real world. And just because, I mean, you see this right now on the national level. People are convinced Ilhan Omar, the only reason she represents Minnesota 5 is it's 95% black people. No, it's 70% Caucasian.
She's my rep.
She's fantastic. And I voted for her in a heartbeat. Trust me, I voted for her in a heartbeat. No, it's this lie that we like to put forward that, you know, when in whether it's just in your face racism, no one but black people live in Minnesota 5, that's why Ilhan Omar's there. Or it's a, you're going to bring some of those black and Latino kids and some of the poor kids into this school, which has traditionally been a fairly wealthy white school. Well, all of a sudden, out of the blue, I'm going to open and roll into Minnetonka, you know? Well, it's different levels of the scale, but it's still racism to a point. And you should call that out. And if they're comfortable with that, fine, fine. But that's, it doesn't make me a bad guy for pointing out the obvious. Another case I had, I encourage people to get involved with your local community. I was on planning and zoning in my local community for many years and it was great fun. I really enjoyed it. Very gratifying experience. Well, if you're doing something like planning and zoning, you're going to get people coming on in. And because of a quirk, there was a business. Generally, the businesses didn't have to come in front of planning and zoning for business permits. But because of a quirk in the law, we actually had to deal with this. And this was a case where it was a business that was going to be owned by some East African Somali immigrants who were here. They were opening up a business, wanted to have the business. Everything was all the I's were dotted, T's were crossed. Should have been a no-brainer. As a matter of fact, if not for the planning and zoning having to weigh in on that, it would have been a no-brainer. No one would have questioned it. But the community around them, the neighborhoods around them, did not want them there. And I brought up the point of said, okay, wait a minute here. You had a similar business actually within your neighborhood. Did anyone, and I asked the city, I said, did anyone ever complain about that business when it was in there? No. Okay. Is there ever been a case where there's been the problems that people are suggesting? No, there's not. Okay. And I said, I kept asking the people, it's like, why are you against this business being here? And they just look at me and say, we have nothing against them. We just don't want the business there. And I said, you can't run cities like that. You can't just do that. I need to know what your validation is. We don't have any problem. We just don't want the business there. Well, we said thanks, but no thanks. We had passed the ordinance and the business got approved. And there's done, that is, like I said, is it sheet and burning cross racism? No, but it is racism. And as longer that we sit there and say, well, that's just going to happen and not point it out. Fine. You want to open and roll your kid away from a slightly higher minority and poor population than before. Fine. That's a little bit racist. And if they don't like it, well, then don't leave. Okay. Don't leave the school district. If you want to sit there and protest a business being open because it's owned by a minority group, when you never once complained about another business, which was the same exact type of business that was in your neighborhood before, but this one can't go in there. Well, there is an element of racism here, and especially if you cannot articulate what your problem with the business is outside of, we have no problem with them. We just don't want them here. That's racism. Folks, if you do not understand the system in place, and in this is something which is, I read this weekend, and it's 100% true. A white 18-year-old kid fresh out of high school in this country has better credit rating and purchasing power than most 50-year-old African-Americans in this country. Think about that for a second. An 18-year-old, just graduated from high school, white kid, has a better chance of getting credit and loans than a 50-year working 40-hour plus a week African-American man. That is a disturbing reality that we live in. That is a disturbing reality. And it annihilates this notion that everybody has a fair chance. No, they don't. No, they don't. So maybe instead of sitting here and allowing a racist jackass of a president to be racist and his followers to be racist, or whether it's someone who's clearly leaving the school district for racist reasons, it might not be heavy duty racist reasons, but it's racist reasons, or someone who is, you know, doesn't want a business in the neighborhood because of racist reasons, call them on it. Because the only way we beat this ugly disease back into the shadows is by letting them know there is no place safe in the light. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Franken, when I do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers. You've heard the shouters, the haters, the berators. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens is the first green cemetery in Minnesota. It's a beautiful, peaceful place where burials are celebrations of life with as little impact on the environment as possible. Tony Weber founded it because he wants to leave a green legacy for his grandchildren, something many of us might feel. Learn more. Visit the website mngreengraves.com. Give them a call. The goal is so meaningful, so positive, it might be right for you. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens.
Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and Powderhorn Park are thrilled to invite you to the Powderhorn Art Fair. Shop hundreds of local and regional artists on serene Powderhorn Lake. Taste foods from local food trucks and enjoy exploring the Powderhorn community. Considered the best regionally juried art fair for nearly three decades, it takes place right in South Minneapolis in picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. Join the fun from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The success of the art fair comes from Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association's long-standing collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and a portion of the proceeds support youth programming at Powderhorn Park. There'll be over 200 artists, 20 food trucks, and great fun at Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. For more information on the art fair, go to ppna.org. That's ppna.org.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. The Al Franken is back in the news. In case you missed it, Jane Meyer with The New Yorker did an investigation into the first allegation by Leanne Tweeden against Al Franken. And mentioned almost nothing his main accuser said checks out. Now, I want to make sure I reiterate what I said before. I am not going to discount these women. I'm not going to say they're lying. I'm not going to say don't pay attention to them. That their stories is theirs. What I did point out at the time is you have a lot of anonymous people. I don't really put a lot of weight into anonymity. You know, especially as a, you know, do you destroy someone's political career because of an anonymous allegation? No, and I'll give you a great example. If the people that were accusing Trump were all saying anonymous, I don't know if you have necessarily a case. You have quite a few people who have said, no, Trump grabbed me, and they're very clear and they're very vocal about it. You can't just discount that. And by the way, isn't it interesting? There's still a lot of people that insist that every woman who ever made an accusation against Trump are lying, but every woman that made an accusation against Franken were telling the truth. I don't know. I mean, could they all be telling the truth? Absolutely. Could some of them be not telling the truth? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the second woman, the woman that that said she was groped while at the state fair, we ended up coming up with about 7 or 8 problems with her story alone before people started calling in. She used to live in Minnesota, and she tried to play herself out as this moderate. She actually was this far-right political person who moved to Texas because she didn't want to be around us libertards, if I remember correctly. That was kind of what she had said, was she couldn't stand being up here around us liberals, so she moved to Texas. And once again, I mean, I've been on that WCCO stage where this allegedly happened, the one with windows into the studio. And if Franken was there, there were going to be people in the studio, and no one saw any of this happen. Doesn't say it didn't happen. It's just saying that we just going through the story on our own started coming in with, wait a minute here. This doesn't seem to be, there seems to be some questions here that need to be answered. Could one person be telling the truth? Yes. And that's probably enough for him to have to resign. But the problem is that the people wanted him gone. He should have gone to the Senate and let an investigation happen. And if an investigation had happened in the Senate and it was proven, then we wouldn't have this mystery. But now you have an investigation into Leanne Tweed. And I guarantee you right now, every other accusation right now, if you thought this was, if you thought this was settled, every other accusation, I guarantee you, is getting picked over with a fine-tooth comb. And if all of a sudden we have a third accusation that's proven to have some real skeptical nature, and a fourth one has some, okay, wait a minute here. What happened? The reason why, and when Gillibrand sits there and says, I'm glad I still got him to resign, I'm still glad and demanded. The problem is that if you didn't give this guy the chance to prove his innocence, and he was innocent, well, he's going to want to possibly get his job back. And now many of the other Democrats who demanded that Al Franken resign, especially after this New Yorker column, now are saying, well, maybe he shouldn't have resigned. And Al Franken is saying, I regret resigning. And now all of a sudden the question becomes, does he run for Tina Smith's Senate seat? There were people, do not tell me they weren't people that wanted him to resign because they wanted Tina Smith to be the senator. Abso-freaking-lutely. I have talked to multiple people. And it doesn't mean that Al Franken was innocent. It doesn't mean that the accusers were telling lies. It doesn't. It just means that these people, they saw the brass ring and they wanted Tina Smith as the senator. And so I think the problem came when we didn't give Franken the chance to prove his innocence, because now we are going to have a mess. Now it's going to be a mess. And trust me, I know there's some people out there saying, I don't care, I think he's guilty. I know there's a lot of people out there saying, I don't care, I think he's innocent. But you know what would have helped? A full investigation by the Senate. God forbid we actually follow the rules that are in place. My goodness. We're back tomorrow. Have a good one. Until then, see you.